You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Brexit. That thing where the UK was going to exit the European Union, that is, never, ever, ever, ever get back with the European Union in Taylor Swift style, because, well, England and Wales were upset about, well, something. Scotland and Northern Ireland weren't keen and voted to remain within the European Union. But a vote means one side wins and the other loses. So, Scotland has to leave the EU even if it doesn't want to and is not happy about it. Government websites and tourism brochures in Scotland have entire sections dedicated to allaying the fears of EU citizens. VisitScotland.com even went on to the extent of saying, "Our people are as friendly as always." Strange thing to specify on a tourism website. Now, what brought about such a comical situation in the UK-Europe situation is a story we all know, but still don't fully understand. That alone is worthy of its own Monty Python sketch. But John Cleese did say he'd Brexit himself the hell out of the UK sometime in November last year. So, well, we probably won't. Well, okay. An episode of Yes Minister at least is what is unfolding in Britain now. The point I'm trying to make is that Brexit is not going particularly smoothly. It is like a sketch that is tanking and nobody can stop watching. That whole business of deal or no deal has gone back and forth so much that it is a meme factory at this point. Three prime ministers and one continent-sized procrastination episode later, Brexit is nowhere close to resolution. And all we've got at the end of it is not even a t-shirt, but well, one speaker was hella dramatic. October 31st is now the deadline for British Prime Minister and King of Clowns, Boris Johnson, to seal the deal or seal the no deal and leave the European Union. On this edition of Digging Deeper, we will try and make more sense of this situation and we'll see if Britain is leaving this time from the European Union. And the answer to that is for sure, maybe, sometime, who knows. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Money Control,
the Deep Dive podcast series.
So, what is Brexit? A quick rundown of Brexit is necessary to understand the main topic that dominates United Kingdom politics. So in 2016, then UK Prime Minister David Cameron conducted a referendum to see if British citizens wanted to leave the European Union. That issue had been part of his election campaign, one he saw fit to fulfill. But the result was the opposite of what the political establishment expected. 52% of the UK voted to leave the EU, while 48% voted to remain. Cameron had said, "I will definitely put it up for a referendum." And then that happened. That was embarrassing for David Cameron, and he quit. Theresa May became the Prime Minister, and she promised to honour the wishes of the British people. She couldn't. And in a move that'll definitely have future generations mocking the government of 2019, Boris Johnson became the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. He's not what one would call a wholesome representation of the Britishness we associate with the usual residents of 10 Downing Street. He, sir, is no Winston Churchill. The only British PM more unpopular than him might be Tony Blair, and that is not saying much. Brexit was supposed to happen by the 29th of March 2019, That did not happen. So the EU and the UK set October 31st as the next deadline. That is 6 weeks from now. Which brings us to this deal and no deal conundrum. Let's break that down, shall we? Now, there's a couple of things we need to understand, like soft Brexit, hard Brexit, and no deal. Now, soft Brexit is a Brexit deal between the UK and the EU that will ensure things don't change much. That'll mean the UK gets most of the economic benefits of being in the European Union with minimal changes. There is a catch, though, in soft Brexit. The European Union says access to its single market can only be granted if all of its principles, including the free movement of people, are respected. But immigration is one of the main reasons for this whole Brexit mess, so it could prove to be problematic in any case. That was soft Brexit. A hard Brexit would mean Britain goes its own way. A clean break that results in major changes in economic policies, trade deals, and rules for EU residents living in the UK. European goods become more expensive, and WTO trade rules apply. The easy access and overall smoothness of the UK's present-day relationship with the EU would take a hit. If the politicians in the UK cannot reach an agreement by the day of the deadline, that is the 31st of October, the country walks out of the EU with no deal. So while hard Brexit still gives the UK some cushion and leeway in trade agreements, no deal means Great Britain walks away with the from the European Union with no cushion whatsoever. One Investopedia.com analysis reported that the Bank of England warned about a no-deal Brexit. It said, and I quote, "Such a scenario could shrink the UK economy by 8% in a year and lead domestic house prices to fall by a third. British and European stock markets will certainly be punished, as will the UK currency. The rest of the world's economy is expected to get caught up in this chaos as well," unquote. Even the IMF warned that no deal risks triggering a further slowdown in global growth. That analysis also pointed out that Britain constitutes approximately 2% of the global economy and 4% of world goods trade, so global ramifications of all realistic scenarios are likely to be manageable. Capital Economics has warned that a disorderly exit could hurt British GDP growth by 1 to 2% spread over 2 years. So now, what is the latest in this drama? The previous Prime Minister and awkward dancer to native tunes on foreign tours, Theresa May, herself a Remainer, tried to negotiate what became known as the Chequers deal, a cherry-picking of all the best points of Brexit and the relationship with the European Union. Despite 3 attempts to get it approved, it failed, and Theresa May quit, which meant no more viral videos of Miss May dancing somewhere in Africa. Now enter Boris Johnson, apparently an English knockoff of Donald Trump and King of Bad Haircuts, as well as Emperor of Clowns. Except, of course, that Boris Johnson has Turkish and other foreign genes in him, which led to the occasional joke about deporting him. And if you haven't heard his limerick about Ankara, it's well worth it. There are some talents that Boris has, but governing is not one of them. Jokes aside, Boris Johnson has sworn to get Brexit done, even if it is with a no deal. Unsurprisingly, the opposition was less than enthused. Johnson was unimpressed with how unimpressed the opposition was and decided he would prorogue the British Parliament starting the 9th of September. That means the parliamentary session is suspended or discontinued without dissolving it, while also telling the world about a word they did not know they needed. According to a report in The Guardian, of all things left of centre, The Guardian went on to say, and I quote, "The government will move a prorogation motion at the close of parliamentary business on Monday, meaning MPs will not return to the House of Commons until the 14th of October. Boris Johnson will formally suspend Parliament for 5 weeks after the bill forcing him to ask for a 3-month extension to Brexit if the UK is heading for no deal becomes law." The report went on to add, before Parliament is suspended, the Benn Bill is expected to receive the royal assent, which means Johnson should be forced to request an extension to the Brexit deadline until January 2020 if there is no deal agreed by 19th October. However, Downing Street is still insisting neither Johnson nor any member of his government will, under any circumstances, ask the EU for an extension to Article 50. Unquote. Such obduracy from the Prime Minister has been met with scathing criticism. It has also led to more comedy. Check this out. A former Supreme Court judge, Jonathan Sumption, said it would be in contempt of court if Johnson applied for an Article 50 extension while simultaneously trying to get the EU to reject it. Nigel Evans, a Conservative backbencher and supporter of the Prime Minister, said Johnson is more likely to call for a vote of no confidence in his own government or try to force an election via other means then go to Brussels to ask for an Article 50 extension. The Guardian claims opposition parties are united in refusing an election until a no-deal Brexit is avoided. The other big name in British politics, Jeremy Corbyn of the Labour Party, went on to say, and I quote, "I think it is disgraceful. Parliament should be sitting. Parliament should be holding the government to account. And the Prime Minister appears to want to run away from questions," unquote. Alex Cunningham, a shadow housing minister, went on to write, and I quote, "I am appalled that Johnson is shutting down Parliament at a time of national crisis." It is not just about Brexit. NHS is starved of cash, NHS being the National Health Service. Increasing crime, education with schools desperate for more resources, housing, poverty, poor wages, cuts in council services, and much more. Johnson, not one to be cowed down, responded eloquently, saying he would rather be dead in a ditch than delay Brexit. Bluster aside, matters are still pretty much where they were a year ago. The truth, as one analysis in Vox went on to say, is that the only Brexit deal on offer is the deeply unpopular one negotiated by former Prime Minister Theresa May. Parliament repeatedly rejected it, along with all other Brexit options. The only thing Parliament does agree on is that it wants to avoid leaving the EU without a deal. That leaves exiting the EU without a plan on the 31st of October deadline as the default option. But because Parliament doesn't want a no-deal departure or the potential economic consequences that go with it, and because Parliament can't figure out what it does want in a Brexit plan, it is trying to stall for some more time. Unquote. The difference this time round, as compared to the preceding 3 years, is Bojo. Like it or not, there's now a new Prime Minister who, as the article went on to state, staked his political fortune on the promise of delivering Brexit do or die by the 31st of October. I mean, the man who put it all on the side of a bus was largely responsible for the mess that Britain finds itself in, and he has staked his political fortune on making that happen. He doesn't like Theresa May's deal because he thinks it essentially keeps his country beholden to the European Union, a Brexit without the exit. His main point of contention is the Irish backstop, a plan to guarantee that no matter the future EU-UK relationship, there will be no border checks or physical infrastructure on the politically sensitive border between Northern Ireland, which is a part of the UK, and the Republic of Ireland, which is a separate country that will remain part of the European Union. This has more than a little to do with the conflict in Northern Ireland, the IRA and all that, remember? And Derry Girls, as a consequence of that on Netflix, which ended after a peace agreement in 1998. An open border was a critical part of that truce. Now, that bit about the EU saying it will not bend its rules unless the UK has a viable alternative, that includes the backstop or open borders between the two Irelands. The UK has put forth no viable alternative. According to Vox, Johnson's argument to the British Parliament and the public is that he can't get a better deal if only Parliament will quit blocking him. He claims, his argument is of course that he can get a better deal if only Parliament would quit blocking him. He claims that as long as the EU knows the UK is desperate to avoid a no-deal Brexit, the bloc has no incentive to budge. But British MPs are equally adamant about not encouraging this no-deal solution. So now, with this whole proroguing business, Britain's Parliament, which resumes on the 14th of October, will have a couple of weeks before the deadline. But, as CNN went on to report, that did not satisfy members of Parliament who dealt Johnson 6 defeats in 6 days, blocking a no-deal Brexit and then rejecting a government motion for snap elections in what was the final vote of the parliamentary session. So, is the prorogation valid? Well, yes. Proroguing is not usually controversial. It is used to mark the end of one parliamentary session and the start of the other, and is often a thing that happens when a new government takes over, giving it time to set a new agenda. But Johnson suspended Parliament for as many as 5 weeks, an unprecedented duration that has become a matter of contention. An unprecedented duration that appeared like an attempt to limit the time Parliament had to plot against him and block a no-deal Brexit. In response to Johnson's move, some of his own party MPs, I guess we'd call them rebel MPs, heard of the term, in India, banded with the opposition to introduce that no-deal Brexit bill and vote on it last Wednesday. In response, Johnson's party expelled the 21 rebels for their disloyalty, including the grandson of Winston Churchill. And that was tumultuous, but it certainly brought the funny. Kicking the 21 rebels out of the party tanked Johnson's majority in Parliament. So the opposition nearly stopped a no-deal Brexit, right? That's the end of that story? Well, no. The bill they passed requires Johnson to request another extension on Brexit from the European Union until the 31st of January 2020. So the opposition can't stop a no-deal Brexit, but they can force their Prime Minister to go seek an extension on the deadline. But Bojo says he's not going to do it, even if that bill becomes a law which says he has to. That circles back to a point I mentioned earlier. A former Supreme Court judge said it would be contempt of court if Johnson applied for an Article 50 extension while simultaneously trying to get the European Union to reject it. Instead, Johnson wants to have elections so as to avoid any such confrontations. Problem is, he needs 2/3 of parliament, that's about 434 MPs, to go along with his plan. But he didn't get the required support. All things considered, experts say elections look like an inevitability. The issue is the timing. Boris Johnson wants elections before the 31st of October deadline and believes he can defeat his main challenger, Jeremy Corbyn. Then, a Scottish court ruled that his government's advice to the Queen, which led to the 5-week prorogation, was unlawful and motivated by the improper purpose of stymieing Parliament. Now, just yesterday, Boris Johnson, or Bojo, who, by the way, isn't entirely an idiot. He has a classics degree from Balliol, which is a hard college to get into at Oxford, having said that. And also, another Balliol prime minister in not-so-recent times. It has always mostly been Oxford prime ministers, I think. Before him, it was Theresa May, was Oxford, I think, St. Hughes. And before her, we had David Cameron, who was from Brasenose College. Before him, there was Gordon Brown, who was Edinburgh. But before that was Tony Blair, who was St. John's College, Oxford. Having said that, this man, yet again, from an elite club called Bullingdon Club, Boris Johnson. So he's not exactly like Donald Trump in that he's not an idiot. He's actually a clever guy. But he did say just yesterday that he did not lie to the British Queen regarding the suspension. And he said, and I quote, "The High Court in England plainly agrees with us, but the Supreme Court will have to decide. We need a Queen's speech. We need to get on and do all sorts of things at a national level." Unquote. Today, the President of the European Parliament also said he was open to extending the 31st of October deadline if it were done to avoid a no-deal exit for a general election or to extend Article 50. So that's where Brexit stands as of now. It is dragging on and on and on. And on the upside, watching the Speaker of the British Parliament scream, "Order!" is easily one of the highlights of 2019.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.